Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. This show is going to be a lot of fun because I have the opportunity to sit down with two gentlemen and discuss their business. But before I go ahead and introduce them, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, in your neighborhood that wants this information, that wants to learn from our guests here today. And they won't have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and let you know that today's show is brought to you by the Real Estate Playbook, a 100% educational workshop presented by real estate instructor Deborah Spence, with a simple promise to help you develop a clear plan to sell more homes and earn a consistent income selling real estate. It's an in-person and virtual event. Go ahead and check out the link in the Facebook post. Now I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, and that is Mr. Alexander Sanchez de la Cerda. Alexander is a fellow at Harvard University researching Quantum Networks at Assist-O, a one-of-a-kind company specializing in assisting individuals and companies with graphic design, technology, research, marketing, HR, and more. He is director and owner. Good morning, Alexander. How are you?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Really excited about what we have in store today.
I am excited to speak with you, but one of the things that people who watch this show notice is that I always find backgrounds interesting. When I saw your background, it's like, what is going on here? It's like nothing yet everything. What is this?
So it's actually a fun story. And I think like COVID also plays a bit into that. So I've always been passionate, obviously, about technology in general. Part of a reason why I wanted to actually study computer science was because I always knew I wanted to become like a business leader eventually. But at the same time, I wanted to have like a fundamental understanding of the technology I would be producing. So for me, it was imperative, even if I lead a company, to still be aware fully of, you know, what I'm doing and understand my products and what I'm doing. So I went ahead and, you know, kind of against studying business and went with computer science. And I'm super happy about that because it gave me so much insight into patterns, just in general, how technology works, basically everything that powers, you know, technology in the 21st century. And, you know, especially with quantum computers, what is coming up in, you know, the next years, decades forward. With the Assist-O, we decided to go into an entirely different direction. And I have to say, it's so phenomenal to actually like work with people and kind of like start from the base, like build up a team, a core team of people, scale a business, develop it, and then eventually circle back into like getting more back into the technology. But I guess we can talk about more about that in a second.
That was interesting, but for, you know, I'm one of those layman people. You got to spend a lot of energy explaining exactly what you just said in layman terms. So we'll get into that. But my question then is, are you one of those people who believe, and I don't know if you were a person who was told that robots would take over the world. You know, there are people who believe that, and then people who have that fear of that.
So no, I think we are the creators of technology, and you know, we're using technology right now. We're in Zoom meeting, but we can stream it live on, you know, so many different channels. And you know, this is exactly what technology empowers us to do. This is what I'm working hard every day. Just with Assist-O, we're just, you know, instead of focusing on the technology that I focus so much on in my academic setting, I also wanted to really show that, you know, I can actually also do it on the level of supporting everything that you need to make use of the technology. For instance, like our backgrounds, the design of them, web pages where people go to find our content, the content itself, you know, which has to be written. We have to create copy. We have to create content. You know, otherwise people won't find us, and there's so much out there, and nobody's going to pay attention to it. And at the end of the day, this is like something that we focus a lot on. We're building up a lot of cool things with Assist-O. Most important, a whole hub of talent, like super skilled people, anywhere from, you know, general assistants, designers, copywriters, all the way to, you know, software engineers. And with that, you can really build anything, because a lot of startups, I think they have excellent founders that have like a very strong technological background, especially also, you know, in Silicon Valley, so much has been created out of there. A lot of other places around the world, you know, are kind of like aiming to that, and so much is happening. But at the same time, you know, there's more than just the technology to something. There's the whole promotion, marketing, its design and usability. And yeah, so we're out there with Assisted to help people kind of, you know, leverage, make full use and leverage their technological expertise so they can focus on developing their product, and we can take care of a lot of the rest out there.
I love it. Now I want to talk about Silicon Valley, which reminds me, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Rajat Mishra, co-founded in 2015 by Rajat Mishra of Silicon Valley Business Journal 40 Under 40, and former senior vice president at Cisco, who helped manage the company's $14 billion per year CX business. Presentium understands that business understanding and visual design are crucial components in vibrant and purposeful business storytelling, along with the purpose behind the story itself. Good morning, Rajat. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm well. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I have so many questions. I wanted to dive in, but then I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. So Rajat, tell us about yourself, who you are, and what you're passionate about.
Yeah, thank you, Sharifa. So I'm Rajat Mishra. I believe that everyone deserves a fair chance to bring their ideas to life. So everyone deserves a fair chance to bring their ideas to life. Not just the rich, not just the privileged, not just the Ivy League educated, not just the most senior executives. Everyone deserves that chance. And out of that idea, Sharifa, Presentium was born 5 years ago. So there's a company co-founded by me and my wife. And she started it off while I was working as an executive in Cisco. And Presentium has a dual mission. On the business side, Sharifa, we help busy professionals in Fortune 2000 companies build designer quality presentations overnight. So we save them time and we make their ideas shine. And on the social side, well, we have an effort called Presentations with Heart. So for every slide that we make, Sharifa, we donate a dollar to a children's charity, one in Uganda that helps type 1 diabetes, one in India, which is a girls' orphanage. And recently I joined the Leadership Council of No Kid Hungry, because I was shocked to learn in the pandemic that one in four children in the U.S., in probably one of the wealthiest countries in the world, runs the risk of hunger. So that's what Presentium does. It has a business mission to help people save time and make the idea shine in presentations, and a social mission. And I jumped ship from Cisco. I was executive there, as you mentioned, to join my wife. And we are scaling the services business. And it was great to hear Alexander talk about, you know, AI and where things are headed. We are also launching a software company that uses AI and machine learning, because we've done over 1 million slides, to help people build their own presentations. So that's what we do. We have a core business of Presentium. Very grateful to be able to serve thousands of enterprise customers. And now we are launching our software. So we're going to have both these sides with the social mission that I spoke about.
Okay, so same question. Are the robots going to take over the world?
Yeah, I think I was surprised how much I agree with what Alexander said, right? Is that human ingenuity has created everything that we've had so far. I'm a rational optimist, and I feel as long as we have the right function we are solving for, the machines will continue to help us in what we are building. But definitely technology has become a lot more powerful, and what we see now with machine learning is something that didn't exist only just a few years ago.
Okay, so let's go back to Presentium, Rajat. One of the things that you mentioned, and I just want to make sure that we're clear, we're on the same page, is that with your company, one of the main purposes. And one of the main reasons you started it is because there was a sort of barrier of entry to people being able to get their ideas out there. And usually that barrier was finances. So people who had the money and the resources to be able to bring their ideas to life could, but people without the resources were unable to. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you think of a company or any kind of large business, presentations are clothes for your ideas. And unless your ideas kind of look good, fit well, are designed to attract people, your ideas won't fly. And in my time at Cisco and McKinsey before that and Microsoft, I found that there were so many people who have great ideas, but they're unable to get it out in the best way because either they haven't been trained or they don't have the resources to employ agencies because agencies are very expensive. Executives can use agencies, but they may charge, you know, $50,000-$60,000 per presentation. So we wanted to create a solution for the middle of the corporate pyramid, Sharifa, because that's where all the hard work is done, right? These are all the people who are the managers, middle managers, directors. They are moving the company forward, but they don't have time. They're overloaded. The resources are too expensive. So we wanted to focus on that group and help them because this feels very unfair to me, kind of going back to everyone should have a chance to bring the ideas to life. It feels, Sharifa, like the playing field is not level. Mm-hmm. If you're an executive or if you have money or if you've gone to an Ivy League school, it's much easier for you versus people who are really doing the hard work. So we wanted to create something which helps people in the middle of the pyramid. And as we are, and with the software, we want to democratize presentations even more and take it to smaller companies as well. But that's absolutely right. That's I believe that very strongly. I grew up in a lower middle class family in India. And I know that if you're not privileged, you have fewer shots on goal, right? You may not have enough shots on goal. And we wanted to build a company that kind of levels the playing field when it comes to presentation and business communication.
Interesting. Alexander, what were your thoughts on what Rajat had to say?
So it's very exciting. You actually mentioned that you donate $1 for every slide that you create.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm proud to say that we started this when I joined right at the late 2019. And we've donated like more than $250,000 now over the last 1.5 years to, there's a center in Uganda that started by a friend who went to business school with us. We're building a campus now for kids with type 1 diabetes because her sister died due to type 1 diabetes. The orphanage in India has grown from 40 kids to 450 kids. And then I'm just starting the work with No Kid Hungry. So it gives a little bit of meaning. That Alexander, I think you and Sharifa also relate to this, right? There's more to life than making money. So if we can make the world a little better place in some way, and I didn't want to wait till I was 60 to say, okay, now I've made my money. Now I'm going to shift to philanthropy. We wanted to kind of integrate the two. So my wife and I, when we look at the business, we look at both the metrics, right? What is the financial bottom line and kind of what's the social bottom line?
So how does it work? Because like I feel, you know, there's so many great tools out there, and I feel like, you know, really everybody can create professional looking slides on their own. At the end of the day, you know, people still have to pay for your slides. So how does it like empower people, you know, other than, you know, them just creating it themselves on their own time?
Yeah. You know, what's surprising is what we found out that 30 billion hours are spent every year. And 2 billion business presentations are made every year. So it's a massive, massive issue. And most people know how to use tools like Google Slides or PowerPoint, but it's not just about the slide, right? It's telling the story. Like, how do you tell the story and the PowerPoint is the medium? So what our company does is we have management consultants who understand the business and we have designers. And when you use us to build the presentations, both of them work together. And I think where you're going, Alexander, is even that service has a fee. And many people cannot afford that service. That is why that's why we're creating the software, which will be even more affordable. So people can do it themselves instead of sending it to us. And then we also, and another thing we've launched is a media company called Think Deeply, Speak Simply, where we have our own podcast, where we get guests and for now, which is a free channel, where you know, every 2 weeks we have guests like Guy Kawasaki was on our podcast talking about how do you do presentation? So we're trying to democratize it and push down the price point. We started with services. We built 1 million slides, 25,000 presentations. We've learned a lot. Using that data, we're building the software and we started the media. But I think lots needs to be done. to push the message out to everyone.
Yeah, cool. I think so. Something similar at Assist, actually, I think we actually almost like went a step further, because Assist was actually born more of an initiative rather than, you know, a goal to commercialize it. During the pandemic, we realized, especially so my roommate, he grew up in Croatia, and we just saw how many people, you know, without during the pandemic, or like at the start of the pandemic, or even before the pandemic, were already struggling. And, you know, our goal was like, you know, what can we do about that? You know, is there any way for us to find the smartest, like hardworking people and, you know, provide them with opportunities? And our way of doing that was seeing like, look, there's so many like Western companies out there that, you know, develop incredible products, you know, especially back then I was studying still in Switzerland. And it was like so fascinating, like all of the things that are produced there. But you realize, you know, even with European Union and, you know, free travel basically amongst the member states, kind of like similar to the United States, actually, of being United States, and you can, you know, travel freely across state borders. There's still such a barrier in Europe, you know, for certain people with like certain passports and nationalities to still relocate, for instance, to Switzerland, because even though there's nothing like physically preventing them, you know, it's still a financial barrier that a lot of people are not taking, therefore they're not fortunate enough. So we were all about, you know, how let's give those people an opportunity and connect them with, you know, clients that are actually in need of like super skilled people. And it works perfectly, especially with the times now. So our goal was always to be remote, to connect that. And it works, you know, so fantastic right now, because so everything is pretty much still remote right now. And it's gonna, you know, offices are not gonna be at full capacity, I think, anytime soon. People enjoy, you know, the working from home part. They are missing the part of going back to the office when they need to, like for certain meetings, or if, you know, they want to concentrate for a day and so on. At that, I really all hope sincerely for all of us that this comes back. But there's always going to be team members that are going to be on a video screen and part of even like, you know, the biggest hedge fund, if you want. So on a video screen, and people will be joining, you know, from anywhere in the world. And so that's pretty exciting for our business model, because, you know, our people tie in perfectly. They don't physically have to be in a room. You know, they can listen in, they can create work. And that is, I think, pretty fantastic. And yeah, so I guess to all of like, you know, the small business owners, startups and entrepreneurs out there listening right now, I think with the Assist a Startup initiative, it's, you know, very attractive. You know, you have a great idea and you're working on that, but you need support, you know, and, you know, the first accounting steps, like, you know, how to actually like establish a business, you know, be it falling, establishing an LLC or a corporation, or, you know, you want to get some design or like your first webpage out there, you know, you cannot do without a webpage today. But at the same time, you know, if you have that brilliant idea, focus on that and, you know, delegate stuff early on. And that is what Assista is all about. We're really not at all an agency. We're also not a recruiting place. We are a pool of talented people that, you know, through Assist to get an opportunity, that are vetted, that are trained. But then you basically have skills that you're getting. You're not getting people. At the end of the day, you're getting skills, exactly the skills that you need. You might need a designer one day. You're going to need a copywriter the other day. It's super hard to hire a person. You have to take care of all of those aspects, you know, social security benefits, retirement plans. You want to make sure that your employees have health insurance. We take care of all of this. And you just say how many hours of support you need within a month. And especially in our startup initiative that I mentioned previously, you actually have the opportunity to get like super reduced prices early on, because we're all about, you know, supporting, you know, those businesses coming from excellent environments. So right now we're, you know, working with some very cool businesses starting out of EPFL, it's a Swiss university. It's called École Polytechnique Fédérale in Lausanne. That's two federal universities in Switzerland. One is ETH. I think a lot of people out there know it. EPFL is gaining a lot of traction. Also a lot of companies obviously coming from the Harvard environment, Harvard alumni and so on. But we're really open to everybody. So our people, like, you know, really work with some of the brightest people and support them. And they have so many skills. So, you know, if you're in need of services to focus on your core product, to get that developed quickly and not get scooped by somebody else in your market entry, I think Assist is really the right place to check out and see, you know, if we can, you know, offer what you need. And
I like that. That was like, yeah. like a whole commercial. I love that. But you answered a lot of my questions, because when you first spoke about it, all I could see is like, okay, well, why don't they go to like Indeed, or why don't they go to a recruiter if all they're looking for is talent? But for me, it seems that it's more of, like you said, a community. So you have a community of skilled people that you work with, and that you can offer their skills and assistance to any business that comes to you.
Yeah, so like, just imagine, you know, remember back when you started all, you know, your various ventures, you know, think back, or if you're in the process of it right now, you know, it's really that process. You know, you have your idea, it's kind of like a seed, it slowly grows, you manage, you know, to fascinate people around you about it. And, you know, eventually, you know, you start doing work actually of like 2-3 people, you're essentially doing 3 full-time jobs or 2 full-time jobs, especially very often while you're still employed, right? Because, you know, you don't want to kind of like give up your job early on, and then your venture, you know, doesn't really work out. And, you know, you get all of these responsibilities, and suddenly, you know, you're running marketing, you're running HR, even though there's nothing really like in terms of human resources yet, but, you know, you have to like sign contracts, you constantly have to take care of stuff, you're in meetings, you have to meet like your potential partners. And, you know, it kind of like just scales up, and like still the largest barrier for people is like getting that first employee. Like if you get your first employee, you kind of like already made it. But it's like such a hard step to get there, right? It's like you essentially work like 110 hours a week until you can like be like, now with good conscience, I can afford somebody. And, you know, we really wanted to alleviate that pain. And you were like, get help right away. You know, why would you be struggling doing something 30 hours that somebody skilled would probably need like 3, 4, 5 hours for? And, you know, then it's really just the part also that I mentioned before, you know, abstract away just from like the individuals. You don't need like the designer, hire a copywriter, hire a web developer. What you really need is you need one coordinator that is like the person that you talk to. And in the back, you really need skills. And you don't want to pay somebody like, you know, 40 hours a week. And then, you know, then you only have 20 hours of work and so on. And, you know, you'll basically like hurt your business early on and hurt your cash flows. And you don't want to do that. And, you know, with the sister, you know, just get those plans that perfectly suit your needs, and you update them, you know, month to month, even if necessary, or every 3 months. And, you know, you add skills, you know, as you go. You know, you're working this month on that. Next month, you need a website. You know, we're there for you. And,
I
you know,
like
you,
that.
You get that with agencies, but, you know, then you're probably going to be bankrupt, you know, before you get to do anything.
Well, you both are the same as far as the whole, you want to offer services. You want to help people without bankrupting them. That's amazing. Rajat, what were your thoughts on what Alexander had to say?
Well, I think one thing I was thinking about, Alexander, while you were speaking, one of my fondest memories, when I was, you know, long time ago, I was in undergrad, I actually did a summer internship and I went to Europe. And I went to Lausanne, right? You mentioned EPFL. I had a few friends who were doing an internship in EPFL. I went to Lausanne, and Sharifa, there's a funicle, there's a train that goes up a little mountain. And when you go up the mountain, there's a little fancy restaurant. And I heard about it and I was like, you know, I want to go and try something out. And I was like 19 years old, maybe not much older than Alexander, right? And I didn't have any money. So I went up there and I looked at the menu and I was like, everything is so expensive. And I love ice cream. And I was like, okay, so I'm just going to eat one ice cream, right? So I ordered an ice cream and I ate it. And you could see the beautiful kind of, it's on top of a mountain. So that's, you could see that. So I was just thinking that, man, it's great, you know, growing up and spending time in Switzerland. I think that's awesome. And I just, so it took me back to that ice cream, Sharifa. That was one. And the other, the same thought struck me that struck you. I think we're both in the business of democratizing things and making it accessible, because even for us, agencies are like 3x or 4x as expensive as us. And we've only focused on one thing, making presentations for middle managers that don't have time. And we're going to do software after the service. But it's really about making things that are not accessible to people and only accessible to, like I said, right, everyone deserves a fair chance. And that's what kind of you're doing, right? Like the person who's starting up, an entrepreneur, how do you help them kind of connect to talent? And that's all that matters. It's not that, you know, 40 hours a week. And we're trying to do the same thing that, you know, people, middle managers, after a busy day of working at 5 p.m., now they think, okay, I have this presentation to do for tomorrow. How am I going to do it? I'm not trained, and my boss is going to judge me based on the quality of this clothes for my ideas. And instead of working, you know, 6, 7, 8 p.m., instead of spending time with their kids or having dinner with their wives or husbands, what they can do is they can just shoot it over to us. So if you send it to us by 5:30 p.m., by 9:30 a.m. next business morning, you're going to get a polished presentation in your inbox. Some customers call us Christmas in an inbox because you open it up in the morning and you get a gift. And pre-COVID, people would hug us. You know, my wife, VP, when she started, you know, with her friends, people would hug her. Like, you don't know how many hours you saved me. You saved my marriage. I've spent more time with my spouse. So it's great. I mean, I love, as a computer science undergrad myself, you know, and my first job was as a software engineer at Microsoft. I can, you know, I love, Alexander, what you're doing. I think, you know, and Sharifa, thank you for connecting us because we didn't know each other till this time. But I think it looks like we're both going after the same thing, right? Democratizing things so that people who didn't have access to those resources and that talent and that quality can have access now.
I think we're very much working like in a similar avenue, like you said, and it's just, you know, there are like, you know, like you said, there's an agency out there, but it's, you know, it doesn't have that same personal touch. Like, you know, you don't actually get somebody who cares about what you're doing. And, you know, that is what bothered me most in all of those aspects. You know, you might have like a sales process where, you know, their people are super nice to you and, you know, they promise you everything, you know, top to bottom. But, you know, then at the end of the day, you know, kind of you get like half-heartedly or maybe heartedly work done, but you don't really have like a connection. It's always like, you know, the agency does like some work and you get like a result, or, you know, especially when you go into consulting, then, you know, it's really like, you know, there's just somebody working and then you get like something that you should do and, you know, it's really up to you. And so I kind of like always make a point of saying, well, you know, what are you actually doing? You know, we are the ones, you know, who do what a consultant would tell you that you should do. Mm-hmm. And you actually get a person that, you know, that person, your business is going to matter to that person. And, you know, that is going to be like their primary objective to support you in that. And especially like for the coordinator that works with all of the startups that we're working with, they're constantly like looking into like, you know, which other people can they loop in to, you know, get the best results for the people. And that is so fascinating. And Rajat, it's so funny that you mentioned Lausanne. It's really true and crazy, like with the prices in Switzerland. I would say it's like a funny joke, you know, because like all of the restaurants are like also closed in Switzerland. You know, it's not like the US, it's now reopening that are like so fast in their vaccine rollout, which is fantastic, by the way. So I always make a point to say, I haven't even really noticed that I can't go to a restaurant, because at best you'd maybe go once a month or like, you know, one time every 2 months to a restaurant, just because you not go out as a student with a tab, you know, lower than like $120 or so, which is like not typically money that somebody has to spare. At the same time, you do have to say you typically make like $35 an hour working as a TA at university, which is pretty fantastic as well.
I don't think teachers here make $35 an hour. So that is incredible. I want to go back to something you said, Rajat, when you said, if you get it over to us by a certain time and then we'll have it back to you by the morning. That made me think of one or two things. One thing is that it was done so quickly, it can't be up to my standards. But then the other thought came to me of, okay, if I'm sending it over and I'm sending over all the content and the writing and whatever, then I could have just done the presentation myself. So please explain that process to me.
Yeah, so the way it works is all the magic happens in those 15 hours, right? Mm-hmm. So you send it over to us at 5:30, and what you send is a draft presentation. So it may not look pretty, might be unorganized, or you can scribble something with your hand, or you can take a picture of something, put it in. So you can send us something which is very rough and very draft. And what we do is we three things kind of makes it unique, right? First is we have some people who are ex-management consultants, right? People from a McKinsey or a ZS. We serve a lot of the largest healthcare and tech companies in the world. So they look at it and say, what's the best way to organize the information? So these are people who are trained in taking content and presenting it in a form that an executive really gets it, because the people sending it, they may not be trained or they may not have time. So once they kind of figure out, okay, because most people use like bullet lists in presentations, and you know, people say death by PowerPoint, right? It's because there's so much text and it's all kind of, it's not visual. And now with Zoom, there is so much Zoom fatigue. So what the first team kind of does is, how should I lay this out so that it's easier to digest? And then we have a design team that takes it and makes it look nice. So we it's not just about making things look nice or pretty. It's also what's the best way to make the idea shine. And we also maintain personal profiles for each individual. So like if you go to Netflix or a Pandora, you get a song or a movie that you like. We keep preferences of each person. So each person gets the presentation tailored to their particular style. So that's what we do. And between both the teams, we work and we get back in the morning. So we serve some of the largest companies, right? Like AbbVie, AstraZeneca, Roche, Genentech, Novartis. And I'm very proud to serve these companies with all the great work they're doing with the vaccine and also a lot of the tech companies. And what's amazing, Sharifa, is that in our revision rate is less than 2%. What that means is in the morning, when people get the presentation, 98% of the time, they are super happy with what they got and they don't send it back to us for any edits. And the problem with agencies is you have to get on the phone, tell them what you want, et cetera. But by using data science, the knowledge of 1 million plus slides and having a really kind of talented team, there's no back and forth. And the price is like a third or a fourth of what an agency would charge you. So far it's working. And you know, as we collect more data about what kinds of things people like, we're getting smarter in doing that. So that's how it works. Does that help answer the question?
That has answered the question immensely. But now I have another question. So yes. Rajat, can we create a presentation to present all of the benefits of a Cysto?
Oh, for what, sorry? Okay. Oh, yes, we can. We can. I think I would say the service is designed for Fortune 2000 companies, right? But Alexander, with our software, which was in alpha right now, and we are launching it in the worldwide launch in June, it'll be called Present. You can make beautiful presentations very quickly. And it's not just about making them look nice. It's also we have business understanding, right? And the other thing, Sharifa, is when most people present, we present from our perspective. Mm-hmm. But what's really important in a presentation is the presentation should change based on who the audience is. And that's really very hard to do, right? Because we have our way of thinking and we have our own pitch and we just keep repeating our own pitch no matter who's listening to it. But what we're trying to do with the software is now tailor it to the audience. So based on if you change the audience, the kind of presentation would actually change. But we can definitely talk, Alexander. I'm happy to.
We're going to talk. We'll have a conversation. So, Alexander, what do we need to have in this presentation?
What we need to have in a presentation? So, you know, with the Cysto, it really works. We're not telling our clients, you know, what we should be doing from them. We trust in our clients to know how their business should work. We don't want to be consultants, you know, that come and tell you how to run your business. Like, you know, maybe it's like the way I've grown up. Maybe it's, you know, the kind of like education, you know, that I was like lucky enough to enjoy. But, you know, I really believe in, you know, that anybody from any background, you know, if you have your idea and you're persistent enough, you know, you're going to know what to do and you're going to find the right people. You have to find your right people to surround yourself with that your business will work. At the end of the day, I can tell you, I could, you know, consult you. I could tell you, you know, so much that you should be doing and so on. But at the end of the day, if you cannot live that, if you cannot kind of like, you know, put that into practice, your business is not going to work out. So with all of the people that I work with, and, you know, those are clients, you know, that do want to pay and that need assistance, you know, I know and I trust them because they're business, you know, is starting up or their business has been running for 10 years or they're actually in like a multinational corporation. Like we actually, you know, work with Nestle Health Science and, you know, we help them in all of their work and the system. And, you know, that makes me so proud. But, you know, what should I be telling as, you know, a not even 1 year old company? You know, it's our birthday actually tomorrow. What should I be telling a multinational corporation?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not even incorporation. You know, that's really when we started, you know, dribbling or scribbling kind of like the first sketch pretty much of, yeah. You know.
What so you started, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's what I tend to do. You started a business in the middle of a global pandemic.
Yes, absolutely right. And the goal, like I said, it was not to make profits. It's still not to make profit. It was not even to be commercial. It was all about, hey, there are so many brilliant people out there. And now more than ever is the time to support those people and give them an opportunity. Yeah. And, you know, there was obviously there was an ulterior motive, because like I had the feeling, and back then it was really just a feeling, that there are so many individuals and companies out there that could profit from that. You know, we have like, as on the private client side, we even work with like a New York Times best-selling author. We actually have like a bunch of people, like phenomenal backgrounds. You know, it's like, you know, I feel like, you know, bowing in front of them, you know, with all of their accomplishments, you know, what they've been like pulling off. It's like so fantastic. And, you know, with companies, like I said, we work with a company, you know, creating exoskeletons that literally allow people that are paralyzed to walk again or ski again.
That's like the Wow.
And, you know, we support them every single day. And, you know, that is honestly just, you know, makes me so good. So like, I feel like, you know, on both sides, really have, you know, at the one hand, giving people opportunities and have like exciting work with like fantastic companies. And at the same time, you know, the great thing, and especially during a pandemic, that shows those companies really enjoy and trust our services. Like our people, you know, sometimes, you know, sign on behalf of our clients because they get like permissions to do that. They're managing, you know, their calendars and inboxes, or they're reconciling their bank accounts, you know, and that, you know, after such a short time, businesses trust us that much. It's phenomenal. So coming back to your questions, I don't tell businesses how they should run their businesses. I'm just providing them with the right people so they can, what they envision, what they want to do, they can execute on that and kind of bring it to life. And, you know, that's what we'll come to for.
So I had a question, Alexander, for you, Sharifa, if I may. How is the pandemic affected what you are doing? Alexander, kind of your
business.
I also left kind of my corporate path right when the pandemic started to kind of build Presentium and then the software. Yeah. So how has it been over the last year?
I mean, you know, it's a brilliant question, but I really wouldn't be able to, you know, answer with like statistically validated data because we started during the pandemic. What I can tell you is on the individual client side, we do notice that, you know, people have so much time, they spend so much time at home. And, you know, there's, you know, the typical thing is like, you know, booking like all of the travel, like organizing all of this, like finding the right places. You're in a new city right now, like sitting here, and you're like, what should I actually be doing? Normally, you know, have an assistant and perhaps for that. And we really wanted to make that accessible to everybody. But, you know, people have so much time and they can, you know, they're literally sitting, you know, on their couch at home and they're kind of like fantasizing and, you know, where can I travel again once I'm vaccinated? And, you know, kind of like CDC, you know, changes all of their recommendations. I've noticed quite strongly. But, you know, once again, looking forward to like once kind of like the pandemic, you know, ceases a bit more, I think demand there is going to pick up. For businesses, I do see it's obviously tough because, you know, you have, like everything is like virtual, but we're a virtual business at the core. So, you know, in principle, that is fine. But it's still you're like, you know, everybody's like worried. You don't have the same planning. You don't really know what is like going to happen, you know, in 1-2 months. So there are like a lot of businesses that are really waiting on, you know, kind of like demand picking up again, or especially, you know, in Europe, like there are restrictions, like you cannot open your business, like, you know, in Austria is under general lockdown in the East region, actually. So that means all shops are actually currently closed, not just restaurants. And so that obviously is, you know, kind of like making it really tough. But then I feel, you know, if we're so successful that we can go from 0 to 25 people working with us in, you know, pretty much like 7-8 months, and all of that during a pandemic, you know, I can't even wait for how demand is going to pick up, you know, once everybody.
I can't wait either. I can't wait to see where it goes. You have to come back and keep our audience up to date on your progress.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it really relates back. I think CEO of JP Morgan Chase wrote in the letter to the general public, not just investors, actually, you know, that he really sees kind of like almost like a gold rush for, you know, past 2023, you know, because like households were actually able to save up so much money, especially also because of stimulus checks. Actually, it turns out, even though like obviously a lot of pandemic has put a lot of pressure on, you know, so many like households, debt in the US is at an all-time low, which, you know, is pretty exciting that people are actually like able to perhaps use the pandemic to actually, you know, pay off debt, kind of get finances a bit more into order. Obviously, you know, I feel like I'm kind of like talking from an elevated position there, because at the same time, you know, I have so many people like in my personal circle that have been struggling so greatly, like people that have not been able to get the education that they're actually paying for, which is like horrible. And we're going to see so many side effects, especially also on mental health. But at the same time, you know, I do feel that we're going to get into a time, you know, post-pandemic, where people will be really excited, you know, to build things, to create things, and, you know, to drive demand.
Yeah, that's right. I'm excited as well. How about you, Rajat?
I am, yes. You know, we had, my son and I have had a ritual every summer. Every July 4th, we would go for a father and son trip. And we've been doing it since he was four. He turns 10 actually on tomorrow, on Friday. So we're going to his favorite burger place.
So everybody's birthday is tomorrow.
Birthdays are coming,
birthday,
yeah.
Alexander's Company. Yeah,
thank you.
Happy birthday to Rajat's son tomorrow, April 16th.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, yes. No, so the 1 year we didn't do it was last year, right? We've been doing it since he was four. And we had plans to... go someplace, but now it's canceled. So I'm looking forward to that. So I kind of agree with you, right? I think it's like a coil spring in terms of what people want to do. I also feel that, you know, if you look at the past few recessions and most of the great companies are built during these times, right? Because when you build a company during this time, you have to be resilient to kind of to live through it. So on our side, actually, the pandemic has... has been a blessing in terms of the business side. On the employee side, it's been tough. So, you know, we have over 150 people in our company, and they're spread all over the world. Some of them work in India, and the situation there is horrible right now when it comes to the pandemic. So we've known many people who've been affected or their families been affected. People have died. And like you said, Alexander, like mental health is a real issue. So it's about connecting with the team and checking in with them. But in terms of work, as we move more digital, there's been like 175% increase in both the number and the need for quality of better business presentations. So that's kind of helped because people want to communicate better. But I'm looking forward to, I love the game of cricket, right? And I'm looking forward to going and watching out of the World Cup that's going to happen later this year. If hopefully this thing resolves itself, and tomorrow is Burger Day, I've cleared my calendar. I'm taking my son, and we're gonna have burgers with our masks on. I think it's one of the few times we're stepping out of our house, but we'll see. What about you, Sharif? What's your plan once things open up?
I'm in Long Beach, California. We have to wear masks. There's social distancing, but. You know, I've been working from home for years. This is my world. I tell everybody else, welcome to my world. I don't even notice it until I go out and then I see all the masks. And we were having a discussion about this on one of the other shows. And I'm walking, I'll see people by themselves or people driving alone in their cars with their masks. And I'm like, they're by themselves. Why do they have these masks on? But aside from that, everything has opened up here. I mean, even indoor dining. Okay. You know, so I love it. I love that aspect of it's opening up, but it also, I believe, made people really grateful and appreciate, you know, what we have now, because for over a year, we were unable to do it. There wasn't any ability to go out and go to our favorite restaurant. Maybe our favorite restaurant is closed now. So now what we have, we appreciate the ability to go in and sit down and just simply have a meal. At least that's me and my experience.
Yeah, that's so true. I think I agree on our side also. I maintain a little gratitude journal, mm-hmm. kind of writing down three things in the day that I'm kind of grateful for. And like I was saying, right, I grew up in a lower middle class family. So life has exceeded all. If you talk to like the 10-year-old Rajat and you tell this is what you'd be doing, you'd be living in Silicon Valley, you'd be building companies, helping these people, helping kind of give to charity. I'd say, you know, it's been so amazing. And that's what we would discuss during the pandemic, right? I mean, it's, life is so much harder for so many people. I'm just so incredibly grateful to have a chance to kind of live the life that I am. And I notice that also on the streets, Sharif, I'm not sure, Alexander, if you have, when people walk in the Bay Area, people are busy with their own things. But now when we go, I love walking. When people walk next to you on the other side of the road, they kind of wave at you now. Mm-hmm. So that appreciation for the simple joy of, okay, here is a fellow human. And, you know, it doesn't matter what they look like or where they're from, but just an appreciation for those things. And we've gone to this burger place many times in the past, but like you said, I've never felt this much appreciation for this burger place that we're going to go to and, you know, maybe get a shake as well.
Gonna get some fries, Rajat.
Yes, we're gonna live on the edge.
So I think I just have to like tune in there for a second. So I'm kind of like, you know, probably let the scientist shine through for a second. So sorry about that in advance. Also, like, I think I have a quite interesting or exciting view on all of this, kind of like living on both sides of the Atlantic. So East Coast and, you know, Central Europe, Mid Europe, and Austria and Switzerland, and kind of like really seeing like so many different approaches. So first of all, I have personally not been able to be in a restaurant for more than 4 months because everything actually closed down. So it has remained closed for all of that time. The last time was actually back when I was in Boston in December. And so it's so many things. It's like, you know, obviously like the per capita infection rate of people actually. Then at the same time, also seeing the mortality based on all of this kind of like factors in also the different mutations that we have right now, kind of like spreading from Europe and South Africa, Brazil, and various places. And then there's also like the interesting aspect of vaccination. So it's like a very common thing in the US for everybody to get flu shot. And it might actually be a surprise to like many people. And then I'll tell you, it's like totally not a thing in Europe. Like nobody gets a flu shot. You know, it's like totally normal for, you know, you to go to CVS and, you know, you get your flu shot and, you know, this is done professionally. It's like super easy. Everybody knows how it works. Like, it's like a totally different mindset in Europe, which is like so strange. You know, it's, you know, there's nothing there that fundamentally would motivate that difference.
Aside from what about vaccines in general?
Yeah, vaccines, coming to vaccines now, it's just, you know, people obviously do get vaccinated. So it's not like, hey, all European are anti-vaxxers. It's just like, particularly for the flu shot, you know, people are like, hey, it's not that thing. And kind of like a similar thing with COVID, even though, you know, people in Europe now take COVID a lot more serious. But at the same time, I have the feeling because they're not so used to flu shots, there's like a much higher skepticism towards the COVID vaccine, for instance. Mm-hmm. So they've kind of like, I feel like played it quite smartly now with, do you want like, you know, Moderna and Pfizer or AstraZeneca? So the question is not anymore like, do you get vaccinated, but which vaccine do you get? So that is like kind of like a smart thing. So just for all of the people, AstraZeneca is not yet licensed in the US, but it is in Europe. It's pretty much equivalent to Johnson & Johnson, except you don't just need one dose, which is, by the way, currently on hold, Johnson & Johnson. But you'd need two doses actually, and they're actually spread quite far apart, which further slows down the whole vaccination progress. So while actually on April 19th, like was announced, everybody's generally kind of any adult person is generally eligible for a vaccine. That same thing also because, you know, there were some mistakes in the whole ordering process and just everything in Europe. It's surely going to take at least, you know, 3-4 months longer, which is quite frustrating because if you think with all of those upcoming mutations, and now I'm going to let the scientist out. Actually, because of the vaccine, you know, there's a lot less likely a spread. So even if the vaccine is at a reduced efficacy for a certain mutation, just if more people are vaccinated, it's still a lot less likely to spread because, you know, you have like an infection rate of like, you know, 3% in the population going forward. And, you know, a vaccination, you know, like Pfizer would rule that out, you know, but pretty much severe case 100%. Or like 95% just, you know, in general contracting it in the first place. So you multiply those percentages and, you know, just a small percentage multiplied with the small percentage gets a really, really small percentage. So everything is a lot less likely to spread. So it would actually be imperative to roll out vaccinations quite quickly because then you kind of like circumvent the whole mutation problem in the first place. And so I'm pretty scared about that actually not happening fast enough in Europe and kind of therefore kind of like having a second round of, you know, new mutations with like less efficacy towards the vaccines that could, you know, kind of like circle back and like kind of like create like a whole, you know, we had like first, second, third wave, like a whole new episode basically of COVID, if you want. So which would basically be terrible and a shame. Given that the US is actually sitting on so much vaccine that they don't even use and they can't export because of the contracts that, you know, were made, you know, during the previous presidency.
Interesting. You're a wealth of knowledge, Alexander.
Yeah, so I do. So that's kind of like the thing. I cover the science and I like to cover the business part. That's something that I do. And it's just, I have to say, like, obviously, like, I'm not an epidemiology, like, a researcher or something like that. I think they would be even more frustrated. But it's, you know, still so kind of like frustrating to see like those whole problems that we had, especially back, you know, last year with like contract tracing. And actually, like, the university that I was at was like leading in developing like, you know, such a privacy preserving protocol. But everybody was like, no, I don't want to have like a tracker. You know, this is like kind of like terrible, and like, you know, big government is ruling in, and, you know, there was really no centralized data. It was all decentralized. It's just kind of like so sad that we don't have this like general level of education, and it's not communicated properly. Kind of like what you said at the beginning of the meeting, you know, explain it in layman term and make it accessible
to everyone.
That's something that bothers me, and that, you know, education is a really big key. So I'm like a huge advocate, you know, for dedicating fundamentally all resources available that are not taken away from somewhere else towards education.
I hear you. I definitely hear you. Rajat, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very tricky issue, right? I think because we are not a communist country, right? And people do have choice, right, about what they want to do, what they want to do with their lives and what decisions they make, right? And I think in the pandemic, I don't think there's ever been a time in history when the government's reach has been as wide as it has been in the last 6 months, right? With, like, I know many people who have small businesses who might want to have kept it open, but they were forced to shut down, and people who cannot pay their, how would they pay their lease, and is affecting their kids. I mean, it has real effects for no kind of fault of theirs, right? So I kind of applaud what the government did with the CARES Act and kind of all the legislation. But I don't know it's as easy as why people didn't do it, because people have free choice. That's why we live in the, you know, the developed world, right? And people didn't have that choice in China, and they contained the vaccine earlier, but the cost of that is freedom, right? So I think it's, I don't think it's a straightforward issue, right? Because I went and got my vaccine, I followed the procedures laid out, but I can also respect people who didn't want to do that for whatever reasons they had, right? And that's what intelligence is, right? Intelligence is the ability to hold two thoughts that oppose each other in your head at the same time and still function. So I understand my opinion, right? Scott Fitzgerald said that, so it's not me, he's an author, but he said, intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing thoughts in your mind and still retain the ability to function. So I think it's tricky.
Like that.
What I will say is, just to be a little kind of optimistic, I think going back to like the greatest companies and greatest innovations that come in this time, just, and also to lighten things up a little bit, I'll share a funny story that in the middle of the pandemic, so as we were focused on our business and growing it, I got a message from one of our clients who's also a friend of mine. And she said, check out this person who is a customer success associate in your company. And I was like, you know, we don't have a customer success associate role. So she sent me a link to a profile on LinkedIn. And it actually was my son. So he had gone and created an account on LinkedIn and said, I'm a customer success associate at Presentium, and I'm here to make sure that the service exceeds all your expectations. And he said, you know, I'm a student council member, I'm in fourth grade and working on my coding skills. So it's
I love it. That is so cute.
So I shared that on LinkedIn and had so many people say that, hey, this is, you know,
the future.
It's so inventive. It's so inventive,
yes.
Right? And I always believe that, you know, innovation requires constraints. Right.
Yes.
Mozart had a fixed number of notes. Right. You know, the great painters, they've had those few colors to kind of use. So you require constraints for innovation. And just to put going back to, I'm a rational optimist. Right. I give the example of my son Samir and his customer success associate kind of LinkedIn page. He also went and connected with a bunch of our team members and our customers. But I think new ideas will come out, right? So we are also a fully kind of work from home company, right? We've been from the beginning. So new business models, new kinds of companies are going to come out. So I feel, we are, I hope the mutation part, the deadly second phase of mutation doesn't happen. I mean, I don't believe that, but I can hold the thought that yes, it's quite possible. But I think we'll come out of this with a lot more invention. I mean, just taking an American perspective, it's like America 2.0, right? New businesses. And so many people I know, like restaurants who have innovated, like new business models that have come in. And maybe the future is more of a hybrid version, right? A better version, right? Another kind of thing that I really believe is people think that the future is a better version of the present. I feel the future is not a better version of the present. The future is a different version of the present. So you cannot extrapolate where you are and say it'll look slightly differently. It'll be different, right? So I think in a way the pandemic is going to force all of us, like your business, kind of what we're doing with our business, and I'm sure so many other businesses out there, to create new opportunities for new people and have
new opportunities
folks like
for new people. I definitely agree. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just give my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Alexander.
Sure. Thank you. Let's start from the whole COVID thing. So I have to say, I'm definitely also like totally for the free choice. But I also want people to be informed. So if you reject something because you're misinformed about it, that is kind of like a bad thing. And I'll actually personally not appreciate it, but obviously everybody is free to go about it. But yeah, just a, kind of like maybe just starting off with something non-business related, please do inform yourself about pretty much anything that you have an opinion on in order to make sure your opinion is sound, because that's just going to give you such a more powerful tool actually, you know, to be informed and discuss with other people. So that's the first part. Secondly, I know COVID has torn us down in so many aspects. We've all suffered personal losses, consequences out of it. But I like to like pitch it also maybe into something positive that we can take from it. The time that we had to reflect on what we're actually doing and if we're happy with what we're doing, if it is the right choice, if you know you are happy with what you're doing every day. And I think so many people, and maybe also you if you're in the audience right now, were able to realize and make changes based on this because you realized that you might want to do this and that different. And so I think I'm also grateful for myself that, you know, I had that opportunity to start a business and, you know, provide assistance to so many people's and companies out there. And that is definitely exciting. And I think this is like, you know, if you want to see COVID as something positive, so many things that previously were told to us are not possible suddenly became possible. And, you know, it was a real like major driver for change. And I think, you know, if we want to take something positive from it, then that's definitely something to take from that. And yeah, so, you know, if you're out there and you're now thinking, yeah, I've also made changes. I started my own business. I'm an entrepreneur and you need assistance. We do have like a lot of cool services coming up right now. If, you know, you're not convinced or don't know what you could do with our services. We're starting with a package now where you can actually like get your LinkedIn profile, both company and personal, polished, and you know, start reaching out to people and you know, get higher responses to what you're offering. Then the second part of that package is to actually like get a couple of blog articles up on your website so people actually find you in the search engine. And thirdly, it's SEO, because you know that's something still so super important. That's probably how you found this round table in the first place. And so we can help on that. And you can get that all for a fixed price. You know what you're getting. And I think that is pretty fantastic. And for all of the actual business owners that, you know, just formed their company, we are developing a platform that connects time tracking, accounting, and, you know, kind of like modern bank accounts. So you can basically seamlessly from tracking time that you work on with clients, get your payments paid out. And put it in your accounting so you don't have a lot of work for tax day, which is
that's right,
by the way.
Which is going to be coming up. We pushed it back. Rajat, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I'll keep it short in the interest of time. So first, very grateful, Sharifa, to have the opportunity to kind of speak here. Thanks, Alexander. It was great to meet you. So I'll just say that, look, if you are a busy business professional and you want to save some time, you want to reduce your hassle and you want to make your idea shine, check us out at presentium.com. That's, you know, P-R-E-Z-E-N-T-I-U-M. We put the Zen in presentations. And we have a podcast out, Think Deeply, Speak Simply, which is about the art and science of business communication. And we have a software coming out. You can check me out on LinkedIn. I'm not on Facebook and Twitter for some personal reasons about those websites. But you can check me out on LinkedIn at Rajat Mishra. And again, presentium.com, P-R-E-Z-E-N-T-I-U-M. And Sharifa, thank you so much for having me on your show.
You are so welcome. I want to thank you both for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because I do. I appreciate you watching the show. I appreciate you sharing the show. But I always ask, please support our guests. Our guests are here with you this morning to share their information, their beliefs, their journeys, and their companies with you. So please support them. Their website links are in the Facebook post. But as always, please don't just share the show and watch. Please follow our guests on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on a Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.